Heart is with Dale and Keith every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, Football Morning in America, NBC Sports, our pal Peter King. Peter, be gentle with us. We're going through withdrawal. We're not used to having no playoff football this time of year.
It's pretty weird. You know, a year ago at this time, actually 1 year and 3 days ago, I was talking to Logan Ryan the other day. I said, do you realize it's 1 year ago tomorrow that you did a pick six of the last Patriots throw Tom Brady's life? And he goes, wow. And he said, wow, about four times. But yeah, that was quite a momentous occasion. And, sports doesn't stand still, as you know, Dale, and so many things have happened that night. But recently, a friend of Tom Brady's had said, can you imagine if Tom had stayed in New England and, you know, it wouldn't be such a debacle? And I said, hey, listen, by the end of last year, when the Patriots went 4-5 in their last nine games, not even Brady could save them. So I'm not sure that it would have been different if Brady was there, no question about it, but I'm not sure it would have been 11-5 different.
Well, we asked you off and on throughout the year, Peter, about Cam Newton and his play, and now that the season is over, looking at the quarterback landscape in the NFL, is there a starting job available to him this upcoming season?
I mean, I don't see how. I think wherever Cam Newton goes in 2021, or whether he stays, which seems unlikely, wherever he goes, I don't know anybody who would give Cam Newton a starting job based on the resume he put out there in 2020. And again, he had a nice last game, no question about it. He looked like he probably should have looked an awful lot of times this year, but this is a guy who, I don't know, four or five times this year didn't even throw for 100 yards in a game. It's one thing to have a bad offensive game in a monsoon like against Baltimore, but, you know, there were just too many games where he was invisible as a factor. So, you know, it helps that he's a great teammate, a very hard worker, all that stuff helps. But at the end of the day, you got to perform. He just didn't perform overall in 2020.
Peter, Pro Football Talk has a pretty new story regarding the possibility that Deshaun Watson could ask for a trade. Can you envision that happening?
I really can't, at least right now. I think Deshaun Watson is probably pretty upset that the Texans won't even interview Eric Bieniemy. Deshaun Watson is very close to Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure Mahomes is saying you would be killer with Eric Bieniemy. And I don't quite understand it, really. I mean, as somebody in the league told me, about a week ago when I was asking about doing Zoom interviews for his team. This is a team president of a team that has some availability right now. And he goes, you know, it's almost the worst news, but in some ways it's the best news. You know, it's the worst news because it's different when you interview somebody on Zoom versus interviewing them in person. But the good part of it is now, you know, if we want to interview John Doe, and he's, and normally you'd get on the owner's plane and you'd fly somewhere and you'd interview a guy, maybe have dinner with him, all that stuff. It might be a 5 or 6 hour proposition. But this year it's an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you basically do a lot of interviews and you decide at that point, who do you want to go forward and interview a second and maybe even a third time? And so that's why, I mean, how hard is it to invest 2 hours with Eric Bieniemy? Right. And not just to check a box either. I mean, who wouldn't want to interview a guy who's been at the right hand of Andy Reid for 8 years in Kansas City? and watch that whole thing get built the right way. So I'm you know, it's not the first thing that the Texans have done that made me scratch my head, but it certainly is the current one.
Well, let's dive a little deeper into that. They just hired their new general manager. They announced it today. You know, 6 years, $5 million a year. What if Nick Caserio says, I want to interview Eric Bieniemy? They don't?
Then he's going to interview him. You know, I mean, because there's no way that Nick Caserio would have taken this job unless he had significant input on who their coach was going to be. So I'm not sure it's over that they're not interviewing Eric Bieniemy, but look, it's like I've never heard of all available of all openings of one guy interviewing for all openings, but Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator of the Titans, is going to do that. And Bieniemy, I think, is at 5, and he should be at 6. Robert Sala is at, I think, 4. So, I mean, we can kind of see which way the wind is blowing. It's a different coaching carousel than there ever has been because so many coaches, a few coaches are getting so many interviews. And, you know, that is why I'm a little befuddled about Houston and Bieniemy.
If you're going to power rank the head coaching candidates that are out there, and obviously some of the guys we just named, I'm sure would be at the top of that list. Ballpark, where would Josh McDaniels fall on that list?
I'd probably have him in a different place than most people would. I think most people will keep the Indianapolis situation hanging over his head forever and what happened in Denver about 3 lifetimes ago. And look, the Indianapolis thing has to be investigated. You got to look into it and figure out whether you're going to be comfortable or not. And so, that's got to be an individual team's decision. I think it has bothered some teams that interviewed them. I think it bothered Green Bay. But be that as it may, in my opinion, and Greg Bedard mentioned this to me during the year, and I think he's absolutely right. The Chargers opening is really, really good for Josh McDaniels. And to me, that is one that if I were the Chargers, absolutely unequivocally, I'd want to talk to McDaniels there's like 3 reasons. Number one, I think, McDaniels has done a very good job in recent years offensively in game planning against Kansas City, and that's the team that you've got to beat in that division. Number two, last year, and I remember this from the scouting combine, I brought it back a few weeks ago, I think in my column, or was it, maybe it was in my podcast, I forget, but when I asked Justin Herbert last year about who he was excited to meet at the combine, he said, Josh McDaniels. I love what they do on offense. And I think the third thing is, Josh McDaniels has gone through a lot of whatever the term would be, kind of self-examination over the last few years about what he could do better, the second time around as a head coach. So I think he is done a good job in sort of self-scouting Josh McDaniels. And I would, in my opinion, I think he is a heck of a candidate, just personally.
Nick Caserio is a big loss for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. He's been Bill's right-hand man for, a decade now, and he does a lot of other things that a traditional GM doesn't. Do you think they can just replace from within in the way Bill often does, or could we see a Scott Pioli, Thomas Dimitroff, Bob Quinn-type reunion in New England?
That's a really good question. I have no idea what Bill Belichick is thinking now, but I do think that the Patriots have done a good job in sort of their farm system of scouts. So many of them have gotten jobs, going back to Jason Light and John Robinson. Yep. And obviously Scott Pioli. So obviously Bill does a really good job in raising people in his system so that they're attractive to other teams. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they filled it from within. But, you know, Bill, the other thing is with Bill now, there's so many people around the league who would love to work for him. You know, even though the Patriots are down right now, I think there's a lot of people who'd really like to work for him. And so I don't have an answer to that. My gut feeling is they fill from within, but I don't have a good answer. I just know that I'm sure there's a lot of people, I don't even want to say it's a silly thing, dancing on the Patriots' grave and all that stuff. But inside the league, you know, the Patriots are highly, highly respected and still very well thought of as a place to work and a place that you can win pretty soon.
Final question before we let you go. The Cleveland Browns will go into Sunday night's playoff game without their head coach, two assistant coaches, and two players all ruled out after testing positive for COVID-19. It's kind of a nightmare scenario from the NFL's perspective, but yesterday when we learned that Mike Prefer is going to be the guy who's acting as the head coach, I think most of us went, that guy still got a job after what happened with him in Minnesota?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Prefer had to do quite a lot of penance, you know, after his little confrontation and his experience. I think that Chris Cluey, you know, was one, you know, to spread that. You know, for those who don't remember it, I think it was 2014, if I'm not mistaken. But it was 6 or 7 years ago where he said we ought to round up all the gays and send them to an island and nuke it.
Nuke it until it glows.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, look, you know, as somebody who's the father of a gay daughter, I certainly, you know, had my antennae raised about that. And, you know, look, it is what it is. And I think the Cleveland Browns, once, if you decide to hire a guy, all right, if you decide to hire him, you believe that he has done his penance after something like that. And you believe that he has been properly rehabilitated. And so it's their decision that he was the best guy to lead them forward. I do think that if Bill Callahan was healthy, I still don't know if he's going to be coaching in this game, but Bill Callahan is far and away the most respected guy on that coaching staff. When I heard that it was going to be Mike Prefer, I said, I bet Callahan is not healthy, because on Sunday night, it's a weird, very weird story. I talked to Stefanski when he was in the car on the way home from the stadium in Cleveland Sunday night. His family was in the car with him. And, you know, we talked while he was driving home. And I just started thinking to myself, man, if you test positive from a test that was taken on Monday morning, you know, Kevin Stefanski almost assuredly was either already COVID positive or very within hours of being COVID positive. So, and he told me that night that, that Bill Callahan was sick, and it was not just either asymptomatic or a close contact, COVID suspension, not suspension, but, you know, a COVID, on the COVID list. But again, I don't know. I don't really know what their alternatives were. And I think because Prefer has done it before and he's been a veteran in the league, I think it was probably the decision that, you know, they felt was their best alternative. But again, I guess I would say, I don't think the decision to make him a head coach for a playoff game is what you should examine when you wonder about, wow, how could they make this decision? The decision to me was, and I hope he rehabbed himself after what he said in in Minnesota, because hiring him was, to me, was the kind of the step of faith they had to take, and not naming him for one game.